In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Persevering Family Conversation, and it's great to be with all of you. And as always, we love to start our family conversation by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. Also, when we pray that beautiful prayer at the end of the rosary, which we call the Hail Holy Queen, in this prayer, the Hail Holy Queen, we invoke Mary also. Mary is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's invoke Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. And beg Mary to be with us, to pray for us, and to pray with us. Let's pray the angelic salutation. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's invite to be with us, my friends, our spiritual director. Our spiritual director happens to be God Himself, the Holy Spirit. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to accompany us, to inspire us. Holy Spirit is known as the Paraclete. He's also known as the Gift of Gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as the Sweet Guest of the Soul. Holy Spirit is also known as the Consoler. He's also known as the Counselor. Holy Spirit is also known as the interior master. St. Paul actually says we really don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba, Father. So let's ask the Holy Spirit to give us a lot of light in our intellect and the fire of divine love to burn within our hearts. As we pray, come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady of Częstochowa, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Margaret of Scotland, pray for us. Saint Gertrude the Great, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Blessed Stephen Wyszynski, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. Saint Maximilian Kolbe, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yes, my friends. The family that prays together stays together. And a world at prayer is a world at peace. So, my friends, we always start off our Perseverant Family by praying to Mary and then to the Holy Spirit. Then we pray to all the angels, especially St. Michael, St. Raphael, and St. Gabriel. Then we pray also to the saints who are our friends. So we're in good company. Our Perseverant Family includes God, the angels and saints, and Mary, who is the queen of the angels and the saints. We should never get tired of trying to promote more and more devotion to Mary in our lives. Never get tired of promoting more and more devotion to Mary in our lives. So my friends, I'd like to encourage you, because I'd like to pray for all of you today in the greatest of all prayers. That greatest of all prayers is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. The holy sacrifice of the Mass. There's no prayer in the whole world. There's no prayer in the whole world more powerful and more efficacious than the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Than the holy sacrifice of the Mass. That's right. So I'd like to place all of you on the altar with these intentions. First of all, that we would make a concerted effort today to be open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we might say this prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. To the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. My second intention I'd like to place on the altar, that all of us would strive to grow in our knowledge of the faith. Because how are we going to educate our children and our family and the people around us if we ourselves don't know our faith? We don't know our faith. How are we going to share our faith with others? So let's do all we possibly can through proper spiritual direction to see how we can, on a daily basis, grow in the knowledge of our faith. My third intention, and this is very pleasing to the hearts of Jesus and Mary, is to pray in a very special way for the conversion of sinners. most specifically to pray for the conversion of sinners, but also for deathbed sinners. That's right, for deathbed sinners. My friends, there are sinners that will be dying today, possibly not in the state of grace. I'd like to place them on the altar that through your prayers and my prayers and our sacrifice, our rosaries, that these people would be saved. God wills that all come to the knowledge of the truth, to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth, as St. Paul says in his writings. So there will be the prayers we'll have in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Friends, as always, there's a lot to cover today. But before entering into our topic of the day, I'd like to speak to you briefly about something that really touched me very much. Last night I went with a couple of friends to see a movie, and I do this very rarely because most of the movies I don't feel are very good. But yesterday we decided to go, and it was, I think, one of the best movies I've ever seen. And the name of the movie is The Prophet. The name of the movie is The Prophet. And I'm just giving you a brief summary of it, and then invite all of you Thursday night at Edwards Cinema, probably in other places where you are. It's being shown at 7 p.m. You might check out where you have your local theaters and see if you can go, and you will not regret it. Okay, a couple of things that might be difficult is the fact that it's in Polish, but you have the English titles below. It's in Polish, but you have the English titles below, and it's the life of of a new blessed within the church, and his name is Blessed Stefan Wyszyński. Now, just give you a brief summary of it, and one of the scenes that touched me most is this. Stefan Wyszyński is the Polish primate. Primate means he's the head of the Catholic Church in Poland. This would be especially during the communist takeover of Poland. So you're going to see him in several decades, the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s. And he's eventually going to die in 1982. And there's a real interplay between Stefan Wyszyński and the Communist Party. I like to call it a two standards, because the prophet Stefan Wyszyński is standing underneath the standard of Christ, whereas the communists are standing underneath the standard of Satan. And there's a marked contrast in which you see the real evil intent, the real malice of the communists who are ruling Russia during those several decades. And Wyszyński, who is leading the church, he's the primary leader of the Catholic Church for several decades. So there's an interplay, which is that the communists are plotting through political elections, through intrigue, and through lying, and by stealing the duplicators and the printers and the churches. They're trying to squash and to eliminate Catholicism from Poland by setting up a People's Republic, which is the socialistic, communistic government. And you see, Wyszynski, often talking with a communist leader and not backing down at all. Very intelligent, very firm, very determined to save Poland, to save the church, to save the people of Poland, to save their families, to save their little ones, to save the priests. Then coming on the scene is a young priest who will collaborate with Wyszynski in this work, who is ordained the auxiliary bishop of Krakow. His name is Karol Wojtyla. Well, of course, you know, Karol Wojtyla would be eventually Pope John Paul II. So both of them worked together. Wyszynski was the primate and Wojtyla worked also with Wyszynski in the fight to defend the nation. The movie lasts about 2 hours. And the scene that really hit me most, is the following. Wyszynski says that we in Poland were going to be celebrating the 1,000 years of the baptism of the first Pole to become a Christian Catholic, the millennium. And he announced that he's going to be celebrating it for 8 years. So it's going to be going on and on and on. Once the communist head hears about this, they go berserk. They go crazy. They don't know what to do. So they have a meeting, and one of the communist leaders say, well, why don't we promote the communist republic at the same time to neutralize the effect of the church? Then you see the communist head who stands up in front of a group of people, and he gives a talk, and it seems to be a dud. He speaks. He's pretty boring. The people are not really enthusiastic. And then you see, this is the most touching scene for me, is that Wyszynski, who's now a cardinal, made a cardinal, he had to travel to Rome to get the cardinal's hat by Pius XII. Wyszynski calls together the people in a public square where you got thousands of people, like seas of people. And what he did was he introduces the millennium. And he's speaking to the people with a lot of enthusiasm. The people are in tears of joy. What he does is he consecrates the Polish nation to the Blessed Virgin Mary. The Virgin Mary for the Poles is Our Lady of Częstochowa, also known as Jasna Góra, which actually means shiny mountain. So he gives a very moving discourse, and the people applaud far and wide. The fact that they're consecrating their nation, a Christian nation, renewing that baptismal commitment, but he's asking the Blessed Virgin Mary, begging the Blessed Virgin Mary to protect the Polish people. And more than once you see Cardinal Wyszyński going in front of the image of Our Lady Częstochowa and kneeling down, and on one occasion prostrating himself before Our Lady of Częstochowa. Probably have seen the picture of Our Lady Częstochowa with two marks on her face, where a crazy man took a knife and cut the cheek of Blessed Mother, and they try to paint it over, and it comes out anyway. As if the Blessed Mother is willing to suffer for her people, suffer for her children. That was a scene that touched me most. Okay, I'd like to apply that scene in that movie. The name of the movie is The Prophet with Cardinal Stefan Wyszyński. I'd like to apply this to what's going on in our world today. And it's the following. In the United States of America, we're going through a very difficult moral period in our country. You might even call it a moral decline, in which we see a country that's based on moral principles, Judeo-Christian values, which is being engulfed by a paganistic, materialistic, hedonistic, even socialistic environment. And you know what I'm talking about. Now, there's a concept, a theological concept I'd like to explain to you related to this movie. For the future and salvation of our country. In the theological cultural concept, it's called the Benedictine option as well as the Marian option. And it's this. And see if you can see the connection between the Benedictine option, Marian option, and the movie The Prophet, as well as the consecration of the Polish people once again to Our Lady Częstochowa. Okay, many years ago, Benedict of Nursia went to Rome to study. He came from a wealthy family, and one of the centers of learning back when Saint Benedict lived was Rome. So Saint Benedict goes there to study and to learn. But he's appalled at the immorality, the paganistic culture that had dominated basically Rome. And having already a deep spiritual life, he decided that he could not put up with that. So he decides to flee from Rome, and he travels south, and he arrives at a place called Subiaco. There in Subiaco, he finds refuge in a cave. But because of his holiness, people sought him out. Another monks asked him to be their superior, and he reluctantly accepted this responsibility, but in a relatively short time they didn't like him because he was too strict, and they tried to poison him. So he left Subiaco and traveled further south to a place called Monte Cassino. So there in Monte Cassino, to make a long story short, he sets up these different monasteries, and eventually he's going to be setting up the order. They're called the Benedictines, which has flourished for many, many years. Now, the Benedictine option is the following. Saint Benedict had to flee from the moral decline of the big city of Rome. He didn't want to be contaminated by what was going on there. So he ends up by finding refuge in Subiaco and then eventually Monte Cassino. He finds refuge basically in this, in prayer, study, and work, such that the motto of the Benedictines is Ora e Labora. Prayer, work, and study. And that was a means by which he could find refuge for the salvation of his soul. Now, Mary Greece, about 15 years ago, wrote a book, and the name of the book is The Marian Option. Now, the Marian Option is parallel to the Benedictine Option. The Marian Option is parallel to the Benedictine Option in this sense. Benedict sought refuge in the cave and then eventually in the monastic life for the sake of his salvation. Now we believe that we have to seek refuge in Jesus Christ, but by means of our consecration to Mary. Mary always brings us to Christ. Mary's the shortest, quickest, most efficacious means to Christ. She really is. She's the shortest, quickest, most efficacious means to arrive at Christ. It's through the heart of Mary. One of the best images of Mary, biblical images, and I've talked about biblical typology over the course of our conversations. Biblical typology would be, you have a type or a symbol in the Old Testament which becomes a reality in the New Testament. It's like a foreshadowing. It's like a shadow, and then it becomes a reality in the New Testament. Example would be, as I said a couple of days ago, the manna of the Old Testament is a type or a symbol of the bread of life. Of the bread of life in John chapter 6, where Jesus in his discourse, bread of life discourse, makes reference to manna. That's the type that becomes a reality with Christ, who himself becomes the bread of life. Now, one of the Marian types or typology of the Old Testament would be that of Noah's Ark. Now, see the parallel between Noah's Ark, which you can read in Genesis, the first book of the Bible, Genesis, and the presence of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, God told Noah to build an ark because of the depravity of the people back then. People had rejected God and they'd fallen in love with themselves. and fall in love with sin. So God tells Noah to build an ark. And Noah builds the ark. People are laughing at him. Because Noah was prophesying a deluge. And the people thought he was crazy. They made fun of him. They mocked him. They derided Noah for building an ark. You look up at the sky, there was a clear blue sky. And then we know what happened. Noah invites the pairs of animals into the ark. Then he moves in the ark with his wife and his sons and the daughter-in-laws. People are still laughing at him. Then the sky grows cloudy. It starts to rain. And it rains for 40 days and 40 nights. And all the people, animals, the creatures on earth were totally destroyed. But there are a few that were saved. The few that were saved would be Noah, his wife, his family, and the animals. Why were they saved? They were saved because they found refuge. They were saved because they found refuge in the Ark of Noah. So we have to seek our refuge. Not so much in the Ark of Noah, but in the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So let's apply this to the movie The Prophet and apply it to ourselves. Stefan Wyszynski, honoring the baptism of the first Pole 1,000 years earlier under the kingdom of Saint Stanislaus, he'd eventually be able to conquer communism, but it's going to come about more by John Paul II. In the end of the movie, we see John Paul II being chosen as Pope, Abemus Papa, then opening up the doors of the Vatican, and John Paul II, in which he is the new Pope for 27 years. It was through him that the Iron Curtain in Eastern Germany and eventually communism in Poland would collapse. But that gesture of Cardinal Wyszynski consecrating the Polish people to the Blessed Mother. Why don't we pray, my friends, that right now in Baltimore, the bishops are united to choose the new head of the Catholic bishops will choose a new president. Jose Gomez was the president of the bishops of the United States over the past few years. Why don't we pray that, possibly writing a letter to the bishop, to consecrate the whole country. Consecrate the whole country to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. What do you think? To have a formal consecration of our country. It might even be to the Immaculate Conception, because our country years ago was consecrated to the Immaculate Conception. For that reason, the most beautiful basilica we have in the United States of America is the Basilica of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C. What I'm trying to do, my friends, is to apply this marrying option related to the Benedictine option, the option of Cardinal Wyszynski, to our own country. Because in a certain sense, my friends, we might even be in more moral danger than communist Poland 40, 50 years ago. Because in communist Poland, they were not killing babies the way we're killing babies. Even though Roe vs. Wade was passed still on a state level, there are many abortions that have been carried out still on a daily basis. That did not exist in Poland. Nor in Poland was a family being rent asunder by false ideologies, militating against the sake of our families, the freedom of our citizens, the contamination of the teenagers, the robbing of the innocence of the children. This is wreaking havoc within our country, and sad to say, many people are not even aware of it. They're oblivious to this tsunami of moral refuse that is descending upon our country at a very rapid pace. So I think we have to turn to Mary. And as Noah sought refuge in the ark, we have to seek refuge in the Immaculate Heart of Mary. She herself prophesied in Fatima that in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. We have to do all we can to promote the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This would be my proposal. This would be my proposal. Send a letter to the bishop's conference. Send a letter to the new president and ask him if he would be willing to do that, given that he would be the new president of the bishops throughout the country. To consecrate our country, and maybe it would take a year because we're getting close to the Immaculate Conception. It's only about 3 weeks away. But to maybe spend a year preparing for this beautiful day in which our country would be formally consecrated to the Immaculate Conception of Mary. She's our patroness. Our Lady Częstochowa and Jasnogór would be the patroness of Poland, but we have the Immaculate Conception as our patroness. What a beautiful title, one of the most important of Mary's privileges. Then, from that would extend, so in the very heart, it would start there in maybe a formal consecration in the Basilica of the Immaculate Conception, which the Bishop of Washington, as well as maybe the new conference, head of the conference of bishops, would come together, and they would make a formal consecration of our country, once again, renewing it, but going deeper in our consecration to the Immaculate Conception. Now, what I'm saying is somewhat extravagant, and it's just an idea. Just an idea, but I think you're going to like it. Invite all the bishops of our country to do it in their own diocese. So they could be doing it very close to the same time that it would be done in Washington, D.C. Then, Listen, I who give many courses on consecration to Mary. Consecration to Mary is not simply an isolated event, but rather it's a style of life where we give ourselves to Jesus through Mary. I'm an oblate of the Virgin Mary, which means I give myself as an oblation to Jesus through Mary. So this would be the follow-up. This would be the follow-up. That as a result of this formal consecration done in Washington, D.C. and done throughout the diocese of the country, obviously there are different time zones, but maybe every bishop could do it in his church sometime during the course of December 8th, the year 2023, because times are tough. And when we have serious sicknesses, we have to use even more powerful remedies. And as Dickens said, the worst of times can be the best of times. The worst of times can be the best of times. Now, as a follow-up of this, now this is going to be very extravagant. We're going through tough times. There's going to be a Marian time every day in which in every diocese, every day, because times are tough, there will be the recitation of the rosary followed by divine mercy because we must have mercy. The litany of the Blessed Mother, then the prayer of consecration on a daily basis. That's right. So what I'm saying is this initial consecration, because we are consecrated to the Immaculate Conception, but it has to be renewed. Because the first reading yesterday is very telling. Look, you have lost your first love. You have lost your first love. You're neither hot nor cold. But you're lukewarm. I will spit you out of my mouth. I will vomit you out of my mouth. How many people have lost their first love for Jesus and Mary and for all that pertains to God? So let me expound upon this. So every diocese is going to follow up on this Marian consecration. December 8th, 2023, by having a Marian act of devotion every day. Because times are tough, we have to pray more. We have to go to Mary. Now, it can be done in various ways. Number one, if the diocese maybe has a local radio, have it be done on the radio. If it can be done on TV, let it be done on TV. If it can be done on a daily basis in the basilica or the cathedral, let it be done. It's not to say that the bishop or archbishop has to be doing it every day. He wouldn't be able to because of his busy schedule, but get someone to do it. Or, it could be done in a Marian sanctuary or Marian church or Marian parish or Marian basilica or Marian cathedral, whatever it might be, it could be done there on a daily basis. And have this live streamed. Have this live stream such that everyone who has access to their phone and the internet, and basically everyone does today, they would be able to join in, be able to join in with the person that's leading this Marian prayer experience every day. So let me try to flesh this out. So this is just a dream or a vision they had as a result of this movie. And Cardinal Wyszynski consecrating Poland once again to Our Lady Częstochowa. But let me try to be as concrete as possible now, going from the theology to the practical, which is my style. Okay, say for example, in the diocese of Los Angeles, there are many churches. There are many churches dedicated to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Many. And it could be Our Lady of the Angels, the cathedral. Well, there's a prominent church in Downey where I'm going to be giving a Marian consecration next year in spring, in May, Our Lady of Perpetual Help. Okay, say for example, the chosen time would be 7 p.m. So there you have 7 p.m. You have a prayer leader. If it's a priest, so much the better. Bishop, so much the better. Right there at 7 o'clock. And this is going to be live stream in which you see a person praying in front of Mary. In that church would be Our Lady of Perpetual Help. So 7 o'clock, everyone tunes in. Not that everyone has to go to the Church of Our Lady of Perpetual Help in person, but by means of online, yes. So starting out by praying the Most Holy Rosary. That's right. Praying the Most Holy Rosary. And this is going to be filmed online. Live stream. So you see the person praying and you see the beautiful image of Our Lady of Perpetual Help. As you saw the image of Our Lady of Częstochowa in the movie The Prophet. So it's being transmitted live. So you can't go there, but you, your husband, and your three children, you're tuning in. And you're praying the rosary with the person that's officially leading the rosary. And then the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. The Chaplet of Divine Mercy would be prayed. And then, praying the Litany of the Blessed Virgin Mary. You know, Father Donald Calloway wrote a book of consecration to St. Joseph. And the essence of this book of Father Donald Calloway was that he took the Litany of St. Joseph and he took several of the invocations and he built chapters explaining these invocations honoring St. Joseph. Well, the Litany of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Litany of Loretto, expresses the beauty and the virtue and the holiness of Mary in the Litany. And that can be prayed after. After the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. And finally, it would be concluded. Finally, this would be concluded by praying the act of consecration that the new head of the United States Bishop Conference, whoever that would be, with maybe Cardinal Gregory, May December 8th, next year. So this act of consecration could be prayed on a daily basis, in which we are constantly, we're renewing ourselves. Constantly, we're renewing ourselves. Constantly, we would be renewing ourselves in our giving of ourselves to Jesus through Mary. And I say that because there's some people that say, well, we shouldn't really just give ourselves to Mary, but I just have to say, and for me it's common sense, is an oblate of the Virgin Mary, having written books on Mary, is that if we really love Mary, Mary is not going to place in Christ in the background. Quite the contrary. The purpose is to bring yourself to the heart of Jesus, but it's done through the heart of Mary. And I'll prove it biblically. In the Magnificat, what did Mary say? Mary says, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord. For my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. Okay, Magnificat would be the Latin, which means my soul does magnify the Lord. My soul does magnify the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. If that were not enough to convince you that Mary is not going to be shadowing Christ, but Mary is going to elevate in Christ. As St. Louis de Montfort says, Mary is the echo of Christ. You ever do some echoing or yodeling on the top of a mountain? Mary's yodeling or echoing Christ. She's not going to be diminishing Christ, but magnifying Christ. And for that reason, that were not enough, take John chapter 2, verse 5. The last time in the Bible in which we have Mary speaking in the Bible. She speaks seven times in the Bible. The last time is in the context of the wedding feast of Cana. They run out of wine and Mary says, do whatever he tells you. So hopefully you followed my train of thought. I've been starting with the Benedictine option, the marrying option, Cardinal Wyszynski consecrating his country to Our Lady Częstochowa Jasnogóra against the onslaught of communism, and how we in the United States, indeed, there is a threat of socialism and communism. Right now, we have these diabolic forces that have been unleashed in our country. And these diabolic forces unleashed in our country are that of killing the innocent baby. Infanticide. And that's really what abortion is. As well as the false ideology which is militating forcefully against the family, our children, and our teenagers. We are in moral danger. We are in moral danger. So we wouldn't have recourse. We wouldn't have recourse to Mary. We want to find refuge in the modern Ark of Noah. That is, my friends, the most pure and immaculate heart of Mary. So I invite all of you to come to my course on my new book, Mary and Companion, this Sunday at 1:30, and we'll be following up on this theme. What do you think about what I said today? I think it's very important. Because there's moral depravity that's descending upon our country. It's scary. But Jesus and Mary, their hearts are much more powerful. Indeed, they will be our haven and our refuge and our salvation. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.